with Jesus, we go higher from this world. That's a precious thought. So tonight we gather together to think about our hearts and to think about where our condition is with God, to think about what our condition is with fellow man. And we say, we hope that it reflects our heart, that we say we have peace. We say that we are at peace. And tonight for a message, I want to dig into looking at peace and what that means in our lives. And what that means and how that's going to radiate some. So when I started my series of messages from Ephesians chapter 6, let's turn there again. Ephesians chapter 6. I hope you're not tired of this series yet, but I did not realize that tonight my third message in this series was going to be actually in line with council meeting. So I hadn't figured that out, but I figured I might as well stick with it. So in Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to start reading again in verse 10. We're talking about how men, as Christians, defend ourselves and we're rallied around each other. We're soldiers together. And this battle is not a battle of one. It's not a battle of me individually. But as a group effort, we prepare ourselves to fight. So, family brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and the helmet of salvation, which is the sword of the Spirit, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always and with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So tonight we're going to talk about being shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Being shod is simply having your shoes on. And I was impressed as I thought about this, that we talked about different pieces of the garment. We talked about the belt, how it tied things together. And we talked about the breastplate, how it protects us. It protects our hearts. But tonight we're talking about what we stand on. We're talking about the part of our body that hits the road every day. The part that we need to give a stabilizing force. We are shod with the preparation of the good news, the gospel, the good news of peace. Now, in the Roman soldiers, they wore sandals, but on the soles of those sandals, they had nails in them, so that even in slippery places, they would be able to have traction. They give firm footing. And it's important as we think about peace. And as we stand on peace, it's what meets. It's what gives us stability. We will have nails in our peace that will give us stability in slippery times. Philippians 4 verse 7 says, "The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus." So what is peace? What do we mean when we say we have peace? Peace, the dictionary definition says, the normal freedom from civil commotion and violence of a community. Cessation of or freedom from any strife or dissension. And freedom of the mind from annoyance, distraction, anxiety, and obsession. It's peace. And we can think about peaceful things, think about unpeaceful things. It's not hard. You don't go very far. You don't go very far from here. Or anywhere. Maybe you don't get very far from your house. Maybe you don't get very far from your own body. And the world is full of turmoil. We don't have to look very far. It's constant. It's changing. There's turmoil. There's no peace. The news is full of impending economic doom. It's going to happen. If it's not in 24, it's going to be in 25. And if it's not then, well, it has to be soon. Everything's going to crash down. There's no stability. There's no peace. There's wars and there's rumors of wars. There's one in Ukraine. There's one in Israel. What's China going to do? What's North Korea going to do? You take it a step further, you take it closer home, we have political unrest. Just about war in our country. No peace. Turmoil, constant changing. The society has the moral decay. And it gets worse and worse. And they try to mix it with the church. And you have pastors proclaiming that you ought to take everybody in and we're all love. And the church in America is deteriorated to nothing. No peace. They say peace and safety, but it's not. It's the opposite. It's turmoil. And here we are in a church. And we're to be shod with the preparation of the good news of peace. And we say, how? People without God will destroy themselves and create misery for everybody else. We look at 1 Samuel chapter 18. Turn with me there. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 6 to 12. First Samuel chapter 18, verse 6. We have a story between Saul and David. And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul, with tabrets and joy and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000. And unto me they have ascribed thousands. And what can he have more than but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul. And he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as other times. And there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin from, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And from there we go forward. We see the turmoil because of one man's pride, one man's jealousy. What did David do? He did what he was asked to do. But another man was vehemently jealous of the praise that one man got. And he had a javelin in his hand. He didn't throw it once, but he threw it twice. And this was a man who was the king. No peace. Esther 3, verses 1 to 6. After these things, did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hagabatha, the Agite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were before him. And all the king's servants that were in the gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. Then the king's servants which were in the gate said unto Mordecai, Why transgressest thou the king's commandments? Now it came to pass, when they spake daily unto him, that he hearkened not unto them. And they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand. For he had told them that he was a Jew. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then Haman was full of wrath. And he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. Another man going about his own business, attempting to live what he thought was right. And another man, because of his pride, set a course of motion not against one man, but against all the people of Mordecai. Turmoil because of one man's pride. And we say we're to have peace. This is then, but this happens today also. And that's people outside, but what about people inside the church? In Philemon's verse 24, Paul's talking, and he talks about Marcus and Aristarchus, and Demas, and Lucas, my fellow laborers. Paul had friends, and he was commending these men to Philemon, and said, greet these brethren, because they're my fellow laborers. And then in 1 Timothy 4, verses 9 and 10, it says, do thy diligence to come unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed. One of Paul's friends, who was a fellow laborer, Demas, left and walked away. In the church. In 3 John, verses 1, 3 John 1, 9, verse 9 and 10. I write unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, received us not. John was writing to the church, and there was a man who loved to have the preeminence, and he didn't receive him. He said, you go away. And he actually fought against them. So how in this world, how do we sit together tonight and bow our hearts before Almighty God and say we have peace? Where do we go? So looking at this, Father, I want you to turn with me to to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4, we have a very familiar story. The children know this story probably by heart. 2 Kings chapter 4, I want to begin reading in verse 8. And there fell upon a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold now, I perceive this is a holy man of God, which passes by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. And let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi his servant, call the Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now to her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is it to be done for thee? What wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said unto her, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about the season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a child at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell upon a day that he went out to his father and to the reapers. And he said to his father, my head, my head. And he said to the lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him in the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of these young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. And she saddled an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward, slack not thy riding before me, except I bid thee. So she went and came to the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi her servant, behold, yonder is a Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with the husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. And Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. And the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me. And she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins and take thy staff in thy hand and go thy way. And if I meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid his staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet them and told him, saying, the child is not awakened. And when Elisha was coming to the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. And he went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands and stretched himself upon the child, and the child and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked into the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon the child, and the child sneezed 7 times and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was come in, he said, take up the child. And she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. We have a woman who was living life. She was an old woman. We don't know how old, but it says she was a great woman. And this woman had her life in control. Her life was peaceful to the best of her ability. I think she wanted a child at one time of her life, but she realized that season of life was past and she was moving on. She was at peace. She thought she was at peace because she had things controlled. It says she was a great woman. We don't know. The research of the word great, it could mean she was an elder or a noble woman, but she was just a lady looking out for the good of others. In her controlled life, she took care of what she could control to maintain her peace. She recognized the need to reach out and help others. She recognized Elisha coming past on the road. And she constrained him to come in, and she wanted to take care of this someone else who she saw also had needs. And she built her life around this. But I find it interesting, or also in life, she was not in life to please herself. She was in life some to please other people because she constrained her husband to build a room that this man could stay in. Also in her life, we find that she was hesitant to be open to too much change because she knew what she had and she was at peace. Elisha wondered what he could do for this woman because she showed so much favor to him. What can I do for you? And she said, well, I'm fine. Just, I'm okay where I am and you're okay where you are and we're okay. But life doesn't change very often. And life does not stay the same very often for very many people. And life changed. And he saw Elisha, thought it was Elisha and Gehazi were talking. They said, this woman has no child. I'm sure she wants a child. And Elisha blessed her with a child through God. But she said, be careful, don't deceive me. But she opened the door and she welcomed the change. A child came into her life and she loved the child. She raised the child for God. Her and her husband took care of the child's needs. And things continued to be peaceful in their life. But one day the boy went to the field. And the child died. Turmoil hit. The very thing she was scared of. She said, I don't want this. The child died. The child she did not have before, the child she did not ask for, the child someone else blessed her with, died. The very thing she might have been scared of happened. And she looked around, she said, what am I going to do? But I think there was a history in this lady's life as she lived. Because when her husband asked her, she said, I'm going to go to the man of God. Husband said, why? Why are you going to do that? You know, it's not a new moon, it's not a Sabbath day. Why are you going to go? And her answer was, it shall be well. Brothers and sisters, tonight, peace in our lives, peace on our feet, peace that we stand on is a choice in our lives. It shall be well. Was things well then? No. Her world fell apart. But she was on a mission. And she said, it shall be well. She continued on. She took off riding. And Gehazi went back and met her and said, is everything okay? What's wrong in your life? Is your husband okay? Is the child okay? Are you okay? And her answer, it is well. What's our testimony tonight? How do we take this and look at our lives today? We like to live in controlled environments. We like to live in lives where we are king of our own life. But you know, when we become a Christian, we pick up the battle. We enter the battle. We need to be willing to put on the shoes of peace. We need to be willing to step in with God and say, but I am at peace. I don't know what I'm going to face. I don't know what's ahead, but it shall be well. And then it is well. I don't know what she expected from Elisha. I don't know if she expected another child. I don't know if she expected a resurrection. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But in her mind, it was well. We accept some difficulties and are cautious about allowing others into our lives because we don't know what's going to happen. We push back and we build this wall just like the Shunammite woman did. You know, I'm okay here and I'm okay here, but, you know, I'm okay. Let's just keep everything okay. And then sometimes we open the door and then the very thing we're scared of happens. The very thing. We have a wild imagination. And can we say, but it is well. I am at peace. Because it's not my will. It's what the Father wills in my life. Do we blame God? She could have walked up to Elisha and said, I don't know why. She did. She said, I don't know why you did this. I didn't ask for this. And so many times we look around in our lives and we look at God and say, I didn't ask for this. Why me? Why are we here? Why? But we need to be like the woman and say, but it's well. It's well. It's going to be well, and it is well. If we are not at peace with ourselves, if we are not at peace with our place in life, if we are not at peace with the circumstances we find ourselves in, the devil will have a fast arrow. The fiery darts of the devil will bring us down. We will be on a very slippery pace because we will not be shod with peace. We will already be shod with turmoil. And we will have no place to turn. When torment hit this lady's life, she said, but there's a man of God I've been taken care of. There's a man of God that's coming past. And there was a connection to God she went back to. And it was well. And when we say it is well, and when we have peace, then I will allow God to work in my life. And I don't know what the future is going to hold. But I know who holds the future. When I am at peace, I will be sure-footed because I know the battle is God's and not mine. And when I choose peace in my life, when I choose peace for myself, I'm not alone because we are in an army of God. There's a whole battalion we are with. There's more people around. And when I choose peace, it will affect my brother. It will affect my fellow soldiers on both sides of me. And they too, we together build a defensive wall. In closing, I have a poem I always liked. I'm not sure when I first saw this poem or this saying. But you know, it's meant a lot in my life recently. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And we get those things in the proper order, we will be shod with peace, and we can say from the bottom of our heart that it is well.